headed the wrong way if you're not born again, if you're not saved. Turn your Bibles, please, to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Verse 8. One of the thrilling portions of the Word of God, the great faith chapter in Hebrews 11. All of these are great heroes of faith, but I want us to notice just Hebrews 11, verses 8, 9, and 10 today. These three great verses concerning the simplicity of the faith of Abraham, Abraham's call and his response. Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker and architect is God. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today for this good service. Thank you, Lord, for this good crowd that's turned this way. Thank you for the spiritual food we've already received from the Lord, we who are saved. Thank you, Lord, for your presence today among your people. Thank you, we who are saved are marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And thank you for that hope we have, we who are saved. And Lord, speak to hearts today and encourage believers and lift burdens. And somebody may be wandering far from God. I pray they'll come back nigh unto the Lord. That one that's here, Lord, lost, if they die right now, they'd be lost for all eternity. May they see they're standing before God and come to Jesus, come down this aisle publicly, take a stand for Jesus Christ and get off the broad way that leads to destruction and to hell and get on the narrow road that leads to life evermore. Lord, help somebody to be called of God from the darkness into light today, the light of Jesus Christ. Now anoint me as I preach and get glory to your name and defeat the devil, and may we receive help from above in this service. Lord, I need help as I preach. Give me that liberty I need now. And may Jesus be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, one of the things that I've noticed about real born-again, godly people, saved people, is the simplicity of their faith. A living, vital, satisfying faith in Jesus Christ is not some deep, weird, mysterious, deeply theological thing. Though there is great, there's depth in the things of God, but faith, I'm glad, is just a practical, simple thing, real saving faith. And I called my mother this morning. And she'll be 85, as I said, 2 weeks from today. Wished her happy Mother's Day. And my mother had only a sixth grade education. So she couldn't, if it took great theological depth to understand faith and to be saved, my mother would have never been saved. Most of us wouldn't have either. I wouldn't, because I was saved as a young boy. But my mother just was saved, just trusted Christ, and she knew Christ was the Savior, and she trusted him as a young girl in a revival meeting. And then my mother believed in living right, believed the Bible as God's Word. She didn't understand it all, but she believed it all. You don't have to understand all about the Bible. You just have to believe it. Just have to believe it. And my mother, when it said that the Lord is going to come back someday, she believed in the second coming of the Lord. She believed it rapture the church and Antichrist, all those. She just had a simple faith in the Lord, and she believed in praying. Just a simple faith. I'm glad that I had a mother with just simple faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the type of faith that Abraham, the father of all the faithful, had. He just had a simple faith in God. Notice, I want to call your attention to four simple statements, wonderful statements about God's call of Abraham. here in these three verses I read for you today. And it was by faith. Everything Abraham did was by faith. By faith he was called. He believed it was God that was calling him. He had faith to believe that it was God calling him. And then we'll see in verse 8 also that by faith he obeyed. And then in verse 9, by faith he sojourned. He dwelt as an alien, as a stranger in a strange land. He sojourned. He is out of place. And then in verse 10, by faith he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, a great definition of faith is up there at verse 6. Before we go in to all these simple, wonderful statements about God's call of Abraham, but faith is defined, far as I'm concerned, in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. You want to please God today? Right here is how you can please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Just say, Lord, I believe you're God. I believe you're the one that made us. You sent your son to die for us. Lord, I believe that you are, that you exist. Believe that God is. And then, once you recognize that he is the creator God, the almighty God, the God that made us out of the dust of the earth, then just believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Just believe if you'll serve God and seek him, seek to do his will, he'll reward you and bless you. And faith is just believing God and taking him at his word. That's what faith is. And I understand that, and you can understand that. Just simply believe in God. And that's exactly what Abraham did in these three verses and these wonderful statements about his call. First of all, by faith he was called in verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, over in, you don't have to turn to him, but I'll read it to you in Acts. Stephen, before the council, described Abraham's call when he said, and men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory, he's a God of glory. He's a glorious God. All glory belongs to him. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, in the blessed soul to which God has appeared. You ought to get down on your knees today or on your face and thank God. If God has appeared to you some way through his word, by the Spirit, some way you have come to know the Lord. God appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out. Now Stephen is telling all the council this. He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land. So that's a description of his call. Abraham was probably immersed in idolatry and in spiritual heathen darkness. And God reached down in his grace and in his mercy in this civilization, in the Ur of the Chaldees. Here's a man. And he had designs on his life, and he called him out in grace and mercy. And he said, Abraham, I want you to leave your homeland and your family and friends, and I want you to go into a strange land that you've never seen. And I believe that when God appeared and revealed himself to Abraham, I believe right then he was saved. God became real to his life when he appeared. And he was saved at that, for the first time that God revealed himself and appeared to him. I believe he believed God, and he was saved because he put his faith in God. Preacher, how do you get saved? Just put your faith in God. We're saved by faith. You have peace in your heart when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what real salvation is, just putting our faith in Jesus. And when we put our faith in Jesus and trust him and him alone for the salvation of our soul, the Bible says then we're born again. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. 1 John 5:1 said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Something supernatural takes place when a lost person, when they're when they realize that they're lost before God, they can't make it to heaven in their own strength, there's no other way but through Jesus Christ, and they trust Him and Him alone, and when the moment they do that, they're born again, according to the Word of God. We're born, we're begotten by the Word through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how God called Abraham. The Bible doesn't say how He called Abraham. It just said He called him. It may have been through a vision, like He gave to Isaiah there in Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah the great golden prophet said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. He eavesdropped into glory and saw the Lord in all of His glory. And around Him, brother, the seraphims were crying, holy, holy, holy. The Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And I believe that was Isaiah's conversion experience as we read on through the chapter. It could have been, God could have spoken to him through a vision. Or God could have spoken to him through a dream like He did Jacob there in Genesis 28. He was fleeing from the wrath of his brother. He had stolen his birthright. And he was on his way to his mother's homeland. And he took out a stone for a pillow. And as he was sleeping there, all of a sudden, he in the dream, he saw a ladder going to heaven, angels ascending and descending on that ladder. And above the ladder stood God. And God spoke to Jacob and told him that He is the Lord God of his father. And he said, I am going to be with thee. And that night, I believe that Jacob had put his faith in God and had a real experience with God and was saved that night. God could have spoken to Abraham like He did little Samuel there in 1 Samuel 3 when he spoke to Samuel and said, Samuel, and three times. Samuel didn't know what he thought it was Eli, the high priest. But then after the second time, Eli had enough spiritual discernment to know that God was speaking to little Eli, or little Samuel. And little Samuel, the third time, when God said, Samuel, Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord. Now, some way, I believe, audibly like that, God spoke to in an audible voice to Abraham and said, Abraham, get thee out of thy kindred, out of this country, and away from your father's house, into a land that I'll show you. God spoke to Abraham later on, we know audibly, on Mount Moriah, when he started, had a knife ready to take the life of his son Isaac, and God stopped him and spoke audibly to him and told him not to do it. Then later on, I believe the Lord Jesus in pre-incarnate form appeared as a man to Abraham. And there in Genesis 18, on his way to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't know how that God spoke to Abraham, but God did. Now, I'm glad God still calls men today. Now, He calls in various ways. God can use many ways to call men. He calls us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in the world to speak to the hearts and souls of men and convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment to come and testify of Christ to our souls. He speaks to man, Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Then God speaks to man through the Word of God. God, people, they want dreams and visions. God doesn't usually today speak through dreams and visions. He speaks to us through that book today. God has let His will be known through the Word of God. He speaks to us today through the Word of God. He speaks through a preacher, a God-called preacher. I know the night I was saved, the evangelist couldn't make it that night. And our pastor, Brother Sisk, an uneducated man, but he stood up and preached Jesus the night I got saved. God spoke to me that night through a preacher. God speaks to millions of people through sickness and trouble and heartache and bereavement. And if God is calling you today, you ought to say like Samuel did, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He heard the call. Abraham heard the call, and by faith he received it as a call from God. Then notice right in the middle of verse 8, he had a call from God, yes. But one word right in the middle of verse 8 made all the difference in the world, and that is the word obeyed. By faith, when he was called, then right on down, he obeyed. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the rams." Now, God called Abraham, and Abraham's response is seen in the latter part of verse 8. It says, he obeyed. That shows that Abraham gave consent of his heart and mind to the Lord, to what God was saying, and it was of God. And then the Bible says, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. This tells us that he proved his faith and his obedience by his performance. I believe we prove the reality of our faith by the way we live. The way we live shows us where we have a real vital faith or not. Let me mention three things about Abraham's obedience. First, he obeyed because he believed the call was from God. He believed that it was the Lord God of heaven that spoke to his heart. And then he believed this God was worthy of his obedience. Folks, God's is worthy of my obedience and your obedience this morning. And then he was sure that was God's call, and that if it was God's call, it must be right and good for him. God's will for my life and God's call for my life and your life is always right and good and best for you. Never doubt God's call and God's will for your life. It's best for your life. And then he thought, since this was God's call to him, he ought to do exactly what God says. He didn't know where he was going to lead him. But he knew that he could trust God. And by faith, Abraham obeyed. Then the second thing about his obedience, he obeyed without counting the cost. He had to leave his loved ones. He had to leave his family and friends. He had to leave security. He had to leave the greatest civilization the world's ever known up till that time. He had to take a long journey over a desolate terrain, great danger along the way. When he got to Canaan, there'd be the fierce, cruel Canaanites. But nothing mattered to Abraham. Danger, discomfort, hardship, loss of friends and family. He didn't count the cost. God called Abraham, and he obeyed the call, and he went out. He didn't count the cost. And Jesus said, if we're not willing to forsake all and take up our cross and follow him, we cannot be his disciple. As the songwriter said, Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee, destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shall be. Abraham obeyed, not counting the cost. Then third thing, and I like this about his faith, he obeyed immediately. Immediately. God called. And without hesitation, he told his wife, he said, honey, start packing. As soon as God called, he did not hesitate. He did not wait. He did not go and seek advice of old Dr. Flugelmouth. What do you think of my course of action? God had called him, and he was going to obey God and not seek the wisdom of this of man. Now, I realize many times we don't know for sure what to do. We're not really sure of the will of God, it's good to go to a godly person, somebody's living right and soul winner and believes the Bible, is a faithful Christian, just seek their advice. Now, I realize that's okay, but when God speaks to us and we know what's right, then we ought to obey immediately. It is a sin to delay doing what we know is the right thing to do. Hebrews 3:7 and 8 says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. I think the secret to spiritual success and spiritual power is prompt obedience when we know the will of God. And we know what's right, we ought to do it immediately. He was called, he obeyed, and then still all by faith now. He believed God, he went out believing God, he sojourned in a strange land. A sojourner is a stranger in a strange land. And he sojourned. He left a great civilization, place of comfort, And he left a great civilization and wandered as a nomad, living in tabernacles, that is tents, as an alien in a strange land. I believe just as soon as God called Abraham and spoke to his heart, I believe, as I said, he started packing. He went out as a sojourner, went out to live as a stranger. He didn't have any idea where he was going. He had no map. He did not know how he was going to feed his family. But he didn't know what the future held for him. All he knew that God said, Abraham, go. And he believed somehow God was going to take care of him. Because, and God's calling is God's always God's provision. Never forget that. God's calling will be God's provision. Dear friend, Abraham said, Abraham, what in the world are you going to leave? Well, you've got it made. Come from a fine family. You all got you got a fine home and security around here. And Abraham, why in the world? I mean, what's the matter, Abraham? You leave it all of this and going out, don't even know where you're going. And why are you going to do that, Abraham? Why are you pulling a move like this? And Abraham said, God called me, and I've got to obey God. Then another friend, Abraham, said, Abraham, that's you going out into through desolate country. Abraham, where are you going to get your supplies? Who's going to take care of you out there, Abraham? And he didn't have a supermarket every few miles or where he could get supplies. Abraham just said, God told me to go, and I believe God will take care of me. And when God calls us and we obey him, folks, we can rest assured, God will never let us down. God, if you'll obey God and put your faith in the Lord, he'll never let you. That doesn't mean everything will always be easy, but the Lord will be there and help you through trials and troubles. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, God will take care of you. Oh, we need to learn that great spiritual principle that we can trust God. And folks, you really can't trust anybody else but God. Then a fourth thing I want you to know, and this is all great faith, but notice the simplicity of his faith. He was called. God called him. He obeyed. He sojourned. And then in verse 10, he looked. I can understand all that, can't you? I mean, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to understand this kind of faith. I can get in on this, can't you? You can too. He looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through the eye of faith, Abraham saw on past the material and the temporal, and saw on out there into eternity to the eternal. Blessed is the person who has the eternal outlook. Most people, their outlook is only for now and on the temporal and on the material. Folks, we need to have an eternal outlook. I've heard people say, well, there's a heavenly minded, that they're no earthly good. I don't know that anybody here this morning's that way. If anybody's heavenly minded around Buffalo Ridge that they're no earthly good, I don't know. I'd like to get a few like that. And I'd like to sort of like be that way myself. But I don't think you have to be. Most of you, if I know you well, you don't have to be too worried about being so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. But, you know, I believe I don't believe we're any earthly good until we become heavenly minded. You know, the greatest cure for discouragement, or trouble, heartache, self-pity, most of us, a lot of time, we have a pity party. Ourselves, the only person who's been called to it a lot of time. The greatest cure for pity and for loss of loved ones and financial loss and suffering is to just think that one day the trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is coming. We'll be caught up in his presence. There we'll have a glorified body. Be with all of our loved ones for all eternity. No more heartache, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more disease. Be in that city of God. City, the walls made of jasper. And the gates, 12 gates, and each gate is one huge pearl. And the streets of gold. And old Dr. Lakin used to say from this very platform, he said, and then go out by the river of life and sit on the bank of the river of life in heaven for breakfast and catch a fish that long with no scales on it. That's pretty good, isn't it? Brother Leroy Shepherd yesterday morning said, he said that heaven, going to a place where the streets are gold, and in the river of life, he said, I believe it's going to be goldfish over there. But if we concentrate on this world, sooner or later, listen to me, folks, everyone listen to me, this preacher, I've seen it. If we concentrate on this world, sooner or later, we are going to be disappointed. Health is a fragile thing. I thought after playing sports all my life and thinking I was in good health the last few months and last few years, I realized just how fragile health is. You can have health today and go tomorrow and the doctor says there's something serious wrong with you. Then life is short. My mother, it just seems like yesterday, she was a healthy lady when I was a boy at home. And now she'll be 85, 2 weeks from today. It just seems like yesterday. Now I know you young people think that the preacher was never a teenager. But believe it or not, I was a teenager one day. And it just seemed like yesterday I was a teenager. Been here almost 26 years and just seemed like gone that quick. Life is short, and you know, and material possessions. You can have much of this world's good and lose them overnight. And just last that stock market crash a few years ago, people lost fortunes and people were committing suicide right and left. Lost everything. Fame it's so brief and it's like a bubble. It's gone. Tony Robinson, who was a great quarterback at University of Tennessee. Few years ago, he had Knoxville and fans eating out of his hand. But he got mixed up in drugs, went to prison, and let him out on probation. Now they've got him again on breaking his probation back on drugs. Great hero, sports hero a few years ago. Now he'll probably go back to prison. Fame is fleeting. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." And Colossians 3:2, the Apostle Paul said, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. And then, folks, if we get our affections set on things above, then the things below don't matter all that much. And when things happen that may be burdens and pressures and trials and tribulation, they're not all that important. It really doesn't matter because we know that God is in control. And the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now, let me ask you one last question. Did it pay Abraham to leave everything and follow the Lord? Abraham did have problems and he did have hardships and trials, but God was with him and God protected him and God took care of him and supplied his every need. And then right before Abraham died in Genesis 24:1, listen to this. This blessed my heart. The word of God said that Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham obeyed God, and then when it come time for him to die, the word of God says it pays to serve the Lord because God blessed Abraham in all things. Did Abraham make a great sacrifice when he left his homeland and went out and obeyed God? Well, no, not really, because God repaid Abraham 1,000-fold for the sacrifice he made. He's called the father of the faithful. And we today, we who are saved by faith, because Abraham was a great man of faith, we are his spiritual children. And he was the father of the Jewish nation. The Bible says he was a friend of God. And he was in the ancestral line of the Lord Jesus Christ. God mightily blessed Abraham because he obeyed God. And God called Abraham. And the first time he called Abraham, obeyed God. You know, I'm glad that as a young boy that the first time that the Lord spoke to my heart, I obeyed his call. I'm glad of that this morning. I'm glad as a 13-year-old boy down in Saudi, Tennessee, in a revival meeting that night when God spoke to my heart, I'm glad I didn't sit there and refuse the call of God. I'm glad that I went forward and knelt at a mourner's bench and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That was over 40 years ago. And God has been good to me down through the years. And God has helped me. And God has brought me through every trial and supplied every need. He's been a wonderful Savior to me. It pays to obey the call of God. And if God's speaking to you today, obey His call. The Lord wants to make something wonderful out of your life. And if He's calling you to get saved, you ought to get saved. If He's calling you to a dedicated life or to join the church, obey the call of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Never go wrong obeying the call of God. God maybe through His Spirit, through the Word, and through this preacher may be calling you today. God maybe has brought you here today so you could be confronted with the claims of Christ on your soul. You need Jesus Christ. Things do not satisfy. Only Christ satisfies the soul. Sir, ma'am, young person, one day you're going to be called out to meet God. And if you refuse Jesus Christ, you will have no shelter for your never dying soul. Christ is our only hope. If you have Christ, you have hope for life and hope for the future. Without Christ, you have no hope this morning. How many of you can say, preacher, I'm glad God spoke to my heart one day. And I responded, I'm glad I'm saved today. If you can say that, hold your hand up. If you're glad you're saved, God spoke to you, yes. Put your hand back down. Some of you couldn't say it. And I've been over on the lake, on my face, on my knees, praying that God would call somebody in this building today. Call you out of darkness into light. Call you from sin to the Savior. Call you to a new life in Christ Jesus. Or call some of you Christians to a life of dedication to the Lord. God wants to bless you and provide for you and lead you down through life. Why don't you give Him a chance? Obey the call of God. How many of you say today, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved or I am saved, but God's spoken to my heart today. And I want you to pray for me. Just lift your hand right up. Let me remember you in prayer this morning. Slip your hand right up. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else, just slip your hand right up, and I'll remember you in a closing word of prayer. God bless you, and God bless you. Anyone else? Preacher, pray for me today. God has spoken to my heart. Pray for me. Young person, mom, dad, whoever you are, visiting friend or own people here, if God is speaking to your heart today, let me pray for you. That if down in your soul you feel a desire to know God, that's God speaking to you through the inner man. Why don't you obey the call of God today? Don't leave here without Jesus Christ. Don't leave here without being right with God. Do business with the Holy God, right? Anyone else, slip your hand right up. Let me pray for you. Closing word of prayer. In the balcony, on the main floor. Anyone, right quick, right now. Let me. Anyone else, these three or four? Anyone else? Anyone else? Wait just a moment. God's calling you. Listen, worst mistake you'll ever make this side of eternity is to refuse to obey the call of God. God called me to preach. He called me to warn you to flee from the wrath that is to come. And the only way you can flee is to come to Jesus Christ and be saved and get in, become a member of the family of God and turn from sin to Christ. Oh, you ought to do it today. Christ has the answer to life. Anyone else, right before I pray? Anyone else? Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. Anyone else? God's calling. Let me pray for you. Anyone else? Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming to thee in prayer. And Lord, I've tried to preach what I felt like you laid on my heart. And Father, I pray that you would bless that man or that woman, boy or girl here without Jesus Christ. May, Lord, you've called them through the word today by the Spirit in the inner man. May they come to this altar, do business with the Lord, trust Christ, and settle this thing today. Lord, may no one leave here without Jesus today. May, Father, they come and say, Lord, I want to know you. Lord, save me. Lord, I want you to know you as my Savior. And maybe a Christian. Lord, there are probably many Christians that, Lord, dilly-dallying around and no purpose in life, no dedication. May they come and get in the will of God and dedicate themselves unto the Lord. Maybe somebody needs to join the church. Whatever needs to be done, may people obey the call of God. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 282. Let's stand and sing 282. I'm going to be standing right here. Listen. If God's called you, and you want to know that you know that you know that you're right with God and saved, a child of God on your way to heaven, just come down and say, preacher, I'd like to know that I'm saved. And we'll pray with you and help you right now. Or if you're a Christian, need to rededicate your life, or if you want to join the church, or some other spiritual decision you need to make today, you want to come for prayer, I'm going to stand right here. You meet me in the front. We'll pray with you. We'll point you to Christ. We'll help you. Come on. Come. If God's speaking to you, come right now. 282, let's stand. You who raised your hand for prayer, come, let us pray with you right now. Let's settle this thing. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark lot, to thee whose blood can cleanse this spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Oh, I come.
You don't know, just a second, you don't know what God's doing in people's lives, you know that. I thank the Lord. Jean come this morning, said she thanked the Lord. God saved her and she wants to dedicate her all to him. And others here coming for other reasons. God's called them. You know, you never go wrong and going God's way. The Lord saved me as a 13-year-old boy. I'm glad that I went God's way. I haven't always done right. I'm certainly not saying that. But I'm glad that I decided to go God's way. And He's helped me. Even when I've failed Him, Brother Jack, He's forgiven me and been a wonderful Savior to me. And He'll be the same to you. He'll be the same to you. And one day, life will be no more. And that'll be the payoff, won't it? That'll be the payoff. The Lord's been giving me peace and help in this life. Heaven to boot. You can't lose on a deal like that, can you? You can't lose on a deal like that. Won't you obey God's call? There's people here today not right with God. God's calling. Won't you do business with the Holy God? Let's sing the next verse. Move out if God will speak in your heart. Come on. Come on.
Just as I am poor wretched one, sight rich as He.
Let's pray.